on 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about your lawn, your garden. I'm sitting here with Derek Thomas. He is the garden guy, founder and president of Thomas Landscapes. We are answering your questions tonight. I'm not. He is, because I don't know. But 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Angela calling from Brentwood. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind? Angela, are you there?
Well, I'm a plant killer.
Oh, you're a plant killer? Oh, my. So should we call the plant police and have you arrested?
Which is funny, because I grew up in Marlboro, and we lived on a quarter acre of land, and I've rotilled and helped my father plant things. But it was more like, girl, go do this, go do that. So I didn't, even though I did it, I just didn't retain any of the knowledge too bad because he's deceased. Anyway, I'm in a new home with some really poor grass. My question is there a good time to plant sod? Is there a good time to buy sod? And I forgot what the third question is. But if you're going to answer those two, I'd appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Right now is a really good time to buy the sod.
Okay.
The second best time to buy the sod would be in the fall. If you put down sod in the summertime, you're going to be doing a whole lot of watering, and you're not going to be liking it. Sod will get really good established at this time of year. The one thing that you want to make sure when you do put down sod is that you take the time to add some type of a starter soil below the sod, and you give it a starter fertilizer when you plant the sod.
And now, like I said, I'm a plant killer. So I wouldn't be doing it. I would be hiring someone. Oh, that was what I was going to ask you. Is all sod the same, or is there a different quality? That's what I want, because somebody could throw down some junk. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't know the difference. That was my third question.
What you want to make sure when they put down the sod, it should look fresh. This time of year, it's going to be a little bit brown with a little bit of green coming in. But as grass grows in really, really quickly, so within the next week or two, if you get the sod, it should be mostly green. The soil that the sod, it comes in a roll. The soil should be moist, it should be compact, and it shouldn't be falling apart. So when you look at the roll that they're putting down, make sure that they didn't get sod that has been sitting around for a few days. Also, the sod should not have any smell. It shouldn't smell like it's been sitting in the roll rotting, because that's exactly what happens if we sit sod in a roll and leave it in the sun. But yeah, it's a good time to do it. Get someone that actually is recommended from your garden center, and you should be good.
Okay.
Do you do that, or you don't do that?
We don't. But when you go to your local garden center, find out who the contractors are in the area that they recommend.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Tisha, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Tisha. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening.
I've always dreamed of having a garden. Last year, my children and I grew strawberries in pots. This year, we have a larger backyard to be moved. So how do I go about starting a garden of vegetables and strawberries? And is it better to grow using a raised bed, or should I dig directly in my soil?
There's a lot of really good information on the internet about how to start a garden. So you can take a look, Google correct starting of a vegetable garden, or come out and see us tomorrow. We'll be out there doing a seminar. You'll get some good tips on how to start with the soil. The soil is the most important thing. If you're going to do a raised bed, you have to make sure that you use lumber that is not going to be toxic. So make sure that you ask that question before you're going to use a raised bed. And make sure that you have at least 6 hours of sun in the location that you're going to be putting the garden in.
Okay. Tisha, thank you so much. Let's talk about weeds. Dandelions, you know, they seem to be the most common. Is there an all-around weed killer for those who are dealing with, you know, dandelions and crabgrass and the like?
So there is a broad-spectrum weed killer. And this time of year, in many of the fertilizers that are specifically for spring lawn, they have a weed killer element that would be for those spring weeds, which are the chickweed the dandelions, a lot of the stuff that you see growing quicker than the lawn right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can spray. The thing about sprays, though, is be careful that you do it exactly as the directions say. If you spray in the middle of the day when the sun is at its highest, you may burn out the lawn. Even though the weed killer is not killing the lawn, what it's doing is it's sitting on the lawn and burning it out because of the interaction with the sun. So make sure that you use it as it's prescribed.
Okay. What about weeds that are coming up through patios?
That you can, if it is a patio and you have no vegetation around it, you can use a non-specific herbaceous killer. What that'll do is it's like a Roundup. It will kill any vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that it's not close to a planting bed or a vegetable bed because it can leach, which means it'll go through the soil and into that vegetable bed. And if it gets to the roots of a plant that you want, it could technically kill it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're here with Derek Thomas, the garden guy, talking about your lawns and your gardens. Let's go to LaQuanda, calling from Florence, Alabama, Northwest Alabama. A lot of folks don't know about that part of the world. LaQuanda, what's going on?
Hey, last year I planted squash. The plant came up, the fruit started growing, but then I guess it's just rotten. It just went to waste, and I'm not really sure on what's causing it.
Did it rot at the end at the end of it? So not the part that was connected to the plant, but the end where the blossom was.
Yes.
That's called blossom end rot, and you probably had either poor air circulation or too much moisture. The thing that you want to make sure that you don't do is don't plant the squash in the exact same spot this year, because the fungus may still be there. And then what you can do is go into the garden center, take a look at, there's a lot of organic treatment for blossom end rot. That's what it's actually called. And when you're planting squash, make sure that you plant at least 3 or 4, and you should plant them on a hill. So plant them on a mound. That way they'll get the proper air circulation. It'll help prevent the squash beetle, and it'll also help prevent that blossom end rot.
Okay. LaQuanda, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Excuse me, 10. Let's talk about people that are starting to plant in containers on porches. I know on my front porch I have some the cement or concrete, I should say, planters. What should I put in there now so that they will look, nice and lush and pretty, something that I don't have to mess with?
The biggest thing and the biggest mistake that people make with planters is do not use soil from the ground. Use soil like a prepared potting soil mixture.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is that soil from the ground in a container, if it dries out, it's going to become hard. It's going to become non-porous, and that's the biggest problem that I see when people say that something's wrong with their container plants.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, there's a lot of early season perennials, things like heather, things like foxglove. Foxglove, be careful if you have kids or pets. It is poisonous. But there's a lot of early season perennials that can bring color into the next couple of months. Pansies. Pansies right now look great, and they will last straight through Mother's Day. So there are plants that you can put in now. The biggest thing is to make sure wherever your pot is, it's in a very confined microclimate. So see if it's getting – and what I mean by that is it getting sun in the morning? Is it getting sun in the evening? And plant the right plant. If you're getting full day sun, don't mm-hmm. plant hostas in that pot because they will burn out and you will not be happy.
Okay. Yeah. I got another question here about Kim Lawn and True Lawn and companies like that. Are they good for your lawn? Do they treat your lawn the way that it's supposed to treat it? What are your thoughts about that?
Their programs are really scientifically done out.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing that you want to make sure is you want to make sure that you're talking with whoever the supervisor is for your region. Make sure that you're finding out who the technician is going to be that's going to be coming out and treating your lawn for the program. Ask them if they're going to be treating at an aggressive rate or a moderate rate or a relaxed rate. And also make sure that there's some accountability from that supervisor and that worker. The biggest complaint that I've heard, and I can't name a company, but the biggest complaint that I've heard is that sometimes they put the sticker on the door. They say that they've been out there.
They haven't been
and
there.
They haven't. They came just to put the sticker on the door. So I'm not saying that that's any of the companies that you named, but just make sure that you're doing your homework when you're hiring a company like that. Okay. But they're good.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ray, calling from Baltimore. What's on your mind?
Hi, guys. I'm considering selling my home in the next 9 months or so. And so I'll be working on the grass and that sort of thing. But I wanted to put some plantings in that would be attractive to, well, you know, as curb appeal. Any suggestions?
The biggest thing is, are you working with an agent, a real estate agent?
Not yet.
When you start working with the real estate agent, ask the real estate agent what they think your market is going to bear as far as putting in some plants to add curb appeal. Keep in mind that you have to step back emotionally. Keep in mind the house is not going to be yours anymore. You're just gussying it up to get someone else to buy it. So,
exactly.
You know, add some things, but don't go overboard. I've seen people go way overboard and only to watch the new owners rip everything out. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, talk with your agent. They will steer you in the right direction.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ray. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kirk, calling from Lanham. What's on your mind?
Yeah, in my neighborhood, we have azalea grass. So right now it's kind of dormant. But I have a lot of, like, wild onions or garlic growing up in my yard. How can I get rid of that?
Some of the early season broad-spectrum weed killer that you can get in with your instance with the zoysia grass, it's probably really spotty, so you can use a spray. Go ahead and spray that on to the onions or the garlic. Make sure that you don't have any like chives or anything like that that you're growing in your herb garden, because they will spread to your lawn. But any of the broad spectrum weed killers can be used, and you can use it for spot treatments in the zoysia grass.
What is zoysia grass?
It's a type of grass that is very, very drought tolerant. It turns completely brown in the winter. It greens up a lot later than the fescues, and it is a lot denser than the fescues. So you will have virtually no weeds. And virtually not a lot of watering during the summer.
And so that's an easier grass to care for than, say, the fescue or...
It's a harder grass to get established. It's an easier grass to care for once it is established, yes.
Okay. Kirk, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Will, calling from Woodbridge. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was on this before you went to series. I'm a plant health care technician working in the D.C. area. I was just going to stress that the previous year with the drought and this warm weather has not just, you know, stressed out lawns and small gardens, but it also stressed out some of these larger trees, ornamental trees, which a lot of people pay a good amount of money for, and stress the importance with insect and activities that have not been killed off during the wintertime, as well as certain fungal and diseases that are detrimental to the insects. And I would like to stress that to the public that these things are definitely they can be very costly to a homeowner.
Right, and And one thing that I will say is thank you, because with plant care technicians, if you noticed a couple of times through the segment, I did mention hire someone professional. And I mean, someone like you are the people that the homeowners should go to when they want professional advice about what's happening to a plant, the lawn, or a tree.
Okay, Will, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Lawn and Garden Tips. We'll continue after the break. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about taking care of your lawn and garden. Whether you have a green thumb or not, I'm with Derek Thomas, the Garden Guy, founder and president of Thomas Landscapes. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alan calling from Bowie, what's on your mind? Alan, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
How do you kill bamboo? I once lived in a house that had a section where bamboo was growing, and it was just impossible to manage.
Wow.
Napalm? No. The most effective way to kill bamboo is to dig it out to the best of your ability. It doesn't grow much below a foot or so deep. And then that area that you are trying to get rid of the bamboo in, if you can, deprive it of all moisture for at least a 5 to 8 week period, it will kill out the rhizomes. Bamboo is nothing but a big, big, big grass. And so
right.
what you have to do is not only kill out the aerial parts, but you have to kill out everything that's growing underground.
Or get a panda bear or an elephant.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much, Alan. Okay, so you mentioned perennials before. What's the difference between an annual and a perennial when it comes to flowers? And how do you decide?
So annuals are a plant that its life from flower or from seed to plant to flower can be wrapped up in 1 year, and it's not cold hardy in our region. So what that means is when wintertime comes, it doesn't have the capacity, it doesn't have the DNA to go dormant and then come back. A perennial is a plant that will live out a life cycle, go dormant, and then come back each year.
Oh,
so
okay.
The roots will stay alive. The herbaceous parts, the aerial parts, will grow up. They'll leaf out. They'll flower. They'll go dry. They'll look like they die in the winter, and then they'll come back the next spring. So that's perennial. You have perennials that flower, and then you have perennials that just are plants that just grow. So there are some perennial plants like some of your heucheras and some of your different type of coral bells. Some of your grass plants are perennial plants that are evergreen, like liriope and things like that. So the thing to remember is annual means that the plant can live its life in 1 year, and it doesn't have the ability to be
so
cold hardy.
So you have to buy it every year.
You have to buy it annually.
Okay. Now here's my issue, and I've really kind of given up now. I've got this great big ceramic planter. It's probably about 18 inches high. Every time I buy a plant, I put it in there, and it dies.
Do you keep it watered?
I try. Yeah, absolutely. But it just seems whether I water it. And, it's just, one of those large ornamental plants. And I used to be really good with plants.
Indoors.
And it gets sun.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm just buying bad plants.
No, try something for low light. Try something like a dracaena or a corn plant. And once again, if you go to, a nursery, tell them that you want a tough indoor house plant that can withstand Harold.
I don't know about that. You may have to go back to the pandas and the elephants for that. So what are the biggest mistakes that people are making at this time of year? Because it seems to be so complex for someone who just wants to get rid of the weeds. They want green grass, and they don't want anything special. They just want a nice green lawn and nothing else. How can you do that without spending every single weekend in the yard?
The first thing you have to do is just exhale.
Okay.
What I see people doing, what I see people doing this time of year, they're trying to do it all. And if you, the great thing about the internet and gardening is you can, whether it's a lawn, whether it's an ornamental garden, whether it's a vegetable garden, you can find out the process. It's all a process. First, you got to get your soil together, whether you're putting in a lawn. There was a gentleman that called earlier and was talking about his lawn died out. I thought it was just a problem where the developer had left nothing but clay, because I see that a lot. So you got to get the soil together first, whether it's a lawn, whether it's an ornamental garden, whether it's a vegetable garden. The next thing to do is to make sure that you're not rushing the season. So right now, you can do spring lawn care. You can do fertilization for your vegetables. That's going to be your leaf vegetables, your kale, your collards, your things that you're putting out that are cool season vegetables. You can do soil amendment, compost and stuff like that for those perennials that are just starting to come back because they want a boost of energy. And make sure that just because the garden center has the plant, you don't have to buy it. If you see basil in the garden center right now, it's about a month and a half early. If you buy it, it will die in your vegetable garden. So just know what you're doing, and you'll have success.
Okay. Let's go to Chris, calling from D.C. Chris, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask a question. I have tried to get a decent, really decent lawn, and I bought Pennington grass seeds last year, put those down, and it's kind of spotty, and I'm thinking about buying some more seeds and putting them down again. Do you think they will germinate and come up this year if I put some more down?
When you say it's kind of spotty, is it has the rest of the lawn gotten established and you just have like circular or odd shaped patches where there's no grass?
I have like little spots of grass, and I can see that there are some of the seeds from last year are trying to, you know, start now.
Okay. What you can do is the company that you named is a good manufacturer. There's other ones out there that have seeds. They actually have a product now that is the seed, the fertilizer, and the lawn mulch all in one. It's a little bit more expensive, but what it does is it takes all the guesswork out. So you've got everything prepared. You put that down. You spread it, as they say. Make sure that you water. One of the biggest mistakes that people make with newly established lawns is they don't get enough water on it. You should be watering it at least 20 minutes a day for the entire area when we get into the summer. This time of year, if you're establishing something, 10 to 15 minutes a day, get those seeds germinated up, and then get on a regular watering program.
Okay. Chris, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nicole, calling from Landover. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm calling to find out how do I get the corn. I have a corn plant. It's about 14 feet tall, but it blossoms. It flowers at the very top. And the blossoms from the flowering, they fall off, and the sap is dripping everywhere. And it has a smell that's very overpowering. And I wanted to stop blooming. And it didn't always bloom. It just started blooming this year.
Yeah, you can just cut the bloom off. It's not going to hurt the plant. What's happened is your corn plant has now gotten mature enough that that's happened. You can cut it right below where the stem has come out, where it should have been a leaf, but instead it's a bloom. Cut it right below, but right above the last leaf. And what it'll do is it'll shoot up a new leaf on the side of the last leaf that came out.
Okay.
And this is outside?
No, it's indoors.
No, it's inside.
You have a 14-foot-tall plant in your house?
Yeah.
You should talk to Nicole about how to grow your house plant.
I don't know if I want to talk to Nicole. She's going to wake up in the morning, and that plant is going to be sitting by her bedside, tapping her on the thigh. Yeah, and then we won't be hearing from Nicole anymore. Nicole, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Real quick, natural versus organic lawn fertilizer, what is it and how do you choose?
Natural and organic lawn fertilizer are basically the same thing. What you have is synthetic or natural or organic.
Okay.
A natural lawn fertilizer is going to be, there are some companies out there that have put together things like bone meal, a lot of naturally occurring minerals and nutrients, and package them into a fertilizer. It's going to be all organic.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to stuff that's synthetic, what it really is, synthetic fertilizers are just what it sounds like. It's something that's been synthesized in a laboratory. So you've got chemical residues that can be harmful or potentially harmful to the soil, to the runoff, and different things like that. And when you start thinking about the health of the bay and health of our waterways, you want to make sure it's a good thing to start going more natural. There's a corn gluten that is actually a corn byproduct that you can use as a natural weed killer on your lawn. That's very amazing. It has really, really good effects. So
sounds like something Nicole is using
on her corn plant.
God, 14 feet in the house. I'd love to see that. That's
and I said to you, a corn plant, when you asked me what was going on with your big plant and what you wanted, that's easy. They're easy to grow. I'm telling you, you'll have success.
Is there corn? Or is it just...
No, it looks like a corn plant.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a form of Dracaena, but yeah,
it's not real corn. Yeah, so no.
She's not going to get corn.
No,
after
no
that
butter flour. Or salt and pepper. Boy, I tell you, 14 feet—that's amazing. Look, Derek Thomas, the Garden Guy. Thank you so much. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
All right, and that's right. Don't forget, you're going to be where tomorrow?
Ed's Plant World from 11 to 1. We're going to be doing a spring fling. Lots of great information.
All right, thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141 for this Friday, March 24th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM.